we, you know, I was thinking as we were worshiping, we don't, kind of like, what are we, why are we doing this? What are we doing? You know, we don't have to do this. We really don't. I mean, we don't have to. We don't have to follow up 10 days of prayer and fasting with a time to just share what he's saying. We don't have to do that. It's good enough that he convinced us, he talked us into spending time with him for those 10 days, the first 10 days of the year. I mean, and, you know, fast sounds like, and it looks like a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I'm more convinced now than ever before that those who stay connected with Jesus in the end are going to be a remnant. And that's not frustration or discouragement that's speaking. It just seems like the power and strength of our, especially the North American culture, has been gaining intensity over the last year or so. It doesn't look like it's slowing down this year. In fact, if anything, it's like, hold on, because who knows where things are going. But, and my heart really breaks for a lot of the church because, at least from what I've, my conversations with a lot of leaders in the church, it's kind of business as usual. Let's just keep the doors open, keep paying the bills, and full steam ahead. And I'm so grateful for being able to hang out with you guys who pay attention to what the Lord's saying moment by moment, day by day, because it just seems like we're practicing. We're getting ready to live life that way in the future. And I can't think of a better bunch of people to be on this journey with than you. But my heart breaks. I mean, I just don't know how this is going to work for a lot of people. It's going to get so discouraging for people if they don't hear from God, if they don't listen for his voice, and if they aren't willing to do what he wants them to do instead of what comes easy or what somebody else wants them to do that kind of is a compromises what they think and what they believe, but they're doing it anyway because it's just the path of least resistance. It really concerns me about the culture that we live in. Not enough to do anything about. I mean, I'm not going to revolt or protest or anything like that. I feel really strongly that, for myself anyway, I just need to keep focused on what's important, keep doing the things that produce fruit, and keep my eyes open to see what God's doing around me, around us, and then just manifesting that stuff. You know, I can't see a reason to stop praying for people to get healed. I can't see a reason to stop praying that the gospel would be more powerful than ever. I can't see any reason to stop hoping for miracles. So what are we going to do? If we don't do that stuff, I don't know. I guess we could study the Bible and get smarter, I guess. But to me, the disciples were stuck with Jesus. They really didn't have an option. You know, there was no plan B. It was just follow me and that was it. And so I feel like we're stuck with him. And I'm trying to make the best out of that. I just feel like we're followers of Jesus and we're stuck with his plan for our lives. And so we're making adjustments to him as opposed to the other way around where he's making adjustments to us. That's a really good place to live life. It's a really good place to live life. Watching, listening, trying to be as obedient as possible, repenting when you miss the mark, and just continuing to go forward. I don't know why I shared all that, except that I feel like I'm in the room with a bunch of people who want what I want. I feel like I'm with friends, you know, that are hungry after this stuff, desire it. So it is preaching to the choir, but I like the choir. So we are going to just give you guys an opportunity to share the things that God's been saying to you. Why don't I just start off with Jeff Beck he's at some kind of function tonight with his, for work. But he said, it was kind of funny, he said, But I have an opinion, I'd like to share it. I'm like, oh, okay. That's cool. So, he said, I feel like the word of the Lord is intentional. The word, in quotes, is intentional. There's a grace on our decisions and choices, and everything we do matters. I heard someone once say, maximize the moments, and I feel that's where we are. We don't want to be business as usual. I didn't even read this. I'm glad I didn't, because it sounds like a quote. There's a blessing of intentionality that's ours for the taking. So his word is about being intentional. There's a grace in our decisions and choices, and everything we do matters. That's really cool. Everything we do matters. I heard someone once say, maximize the moment and feel that's where we are. We need to maximize the moment. We don't want to be business as usual. There's a blessing of intentionality that's ours for the taking. Which that seems to be kind of what we're doing now. So anybody else, come on up. Justin, come on up. Then you don't have to worry about when's my now?
All right. Well, thanks for that. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate that because that's what I do is worry, right? So what I felt like I was just doing my own prayer time, and the Lord asked, would you like to hear what I have for you to give to Evangel? And so I laughed. We laughed together a little bit. That was pretty cool. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Now's a great time. And he showed me a vision of Evangel. I was pretty far away, and there was fires coming down, and a thick smoke like incense that was wrapping around it. And I could kind of see off in the distance people seeing the fire, bringing their attention to it, and they were stopping, and there was car crashes, and people were just enamored by this flame and this smoke that was going on. People were on their cell phones calling 911 saying that there was a building on fire. All the while, we were here, actually. I see some of the elders. I don't actually know who all the elders are, but I know that there's some of them, and it was Jeff and the elders and some others that were here praying, and they were worshiping, specifically asking for more purity in not only their lives, but in the lives of the community, and it's actually a lot like the first song that we were singing tonight. And just with that. So next I kind of saw the firemen rushing in, and when they rushed in, they all fell on the ground and started worshiping God. And then there was another group of people, and they came rushing in, and they fell on the ground and started worshiping God. And as this was happening, people were just very attracted to Evangel, and they were coming in droves, essentially, to check out the fire and to see what it was all about. And when they came in the building, they were just hit with the presence of God. And then there, the last piece was a staircase opened up that was kind of through the midst of those flames. It was like kind of a stairway to heaven, so to speak. And I thought, hey, that's really cool, God. I like that piece specifically, and I want to go up there. And he said, well, Jeff is going to lead the way. And I said, that's even better because I'm a little bit scared of going up there myself. So I kind of looked over. Jeff kind of like was looking around like, what do I do? Because he had seen it as well, and so did all of us or who was there. And so he's like, I think we're supposed to go up there. So he started kind of walking up, and the elders followed right after, and a few others followed after him. And that was it. So that's what I got. And so one other, I guess, piece to it is, as I've been praying about that vision since, is I think there's a bookend to it, maybe for Jeff, maybe for all of us. But I think that it really is important that we sow and do the investing, as you talked about the 2 weeks ago, to get to that place. And then I think really that piece going up the stairway, opening up, was about the pursuit, kind of as you talked about several weeks ago, of the kingdom discussion and really pursuing the kingdom, which, okay, you get it already. Good.
One of my many revelations. He said, come up and share it, so I did just that. The Lord said, yeah, that was me.
What Justin shared, and he said the one word, so. And that's what he's been speaking to me through this time. So when I started kind of the same thing, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to show? What is here? And the first phrase that I heard is, don't look at your resources, but trust in mine. And then I got this picture of a garden. And it was kind of, you know how it says you see dimly through a glass? And it was kind of not really focused. If you're going to, kind of an impressionistic painting of it, I mean, I could tell vaguely what shapes were, and I had a sense of what some of the flowers were. And Diane's talked about a garden in heaven, and she says, I've been there and I've met the Father. And so I was kind of expecting that, but it kind of reoccurred to me day after day, and I just see this garden. And once I kind of got the Star Trek outline, you know, with the sparkly stuff on the inside of something there. And I okay, Father, I'll just take that as you. But as I saw this garden, I began to get these phrases. Trade condemnation for conviction. And I began to get different things. But then as I kept getting this picture of this garden, I said, Lord, it's not about trading. It's about sowing. So, Lord, I sow conviction. He gave me things, more things, and other things that kind of go along that. And Philippians 1:9-11, there's a little phrase in there, and it talks about the fruit of righteousness. And I said, well, if there's fruit, then the fruit comes from a plant or it comes from a garden. And my sense was this little picture of this garden that I was seeing was the garden of righteousness to one in one aspect. And these things that I was sowing in were things that were going to bring about righteousness. And where it ends, is back at that trusting in God's resources and in His provision. I think the word says, and it gives a description about the farmer, that the farmer in faith plants, and he waters and tends, but it is God who makes it grow. Yeah. And so that's what I'm sensing, especially as we're entering into this season of sowing, is that God is going to be faithful to honor what we plant, what we sow. It will grow and it will produce and it will accomplish the kingdom's purposes. So I just encourage you to listen for what you're to plant. Be obedient to that. And then trust in the Father's timing in the kingdom and in his hand.
Yeah.
I have to go because I'll forget. I don't have notes because it was a weird fast this time. I felt like I've been fasting, not food, of course, but fasting a different way for like the last 3 months. So when January 1st came along, I thought, well, okay, here we go. Okay, Justin, you said the word purity, and Susan and I were having conversation back and forth, and we were talking about the snow, and I felt like at that time when we were talking, and I texted to Susan that I felt the Lord is saying through these snow showers that he's releasing his purity over our land. As we walk through the snow, we are getting an essence of his longing for us to walk in his purity. So on that, then with you, Jim, the other thing that happened during the fast is I know that we can't get to his purity without being intentional about walking in his fruit of his spirit. And his fruit is in us. And for us to bear fruit for the kingdom, we have to be intentional. Oh, Jeff Bex, intentionality, to really work at and practice and have the grace to walk in the fruit of the spirit. And as we do that, we're going to sow into other people's lives because we're giving them love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So those two right there were big. The other thing, the Lord talks to me in really weird ways, but I was getting ready one morning, and I had black pants on, because usually that's what I wear, and a gray cable knit type sweater, and I had a vest that had these little diamond pattern on it, and then I had this beautiful knit sweater from Lenny that was a whole different pattern, and I looked in the mirror and I said, oh my gosh, I can't wear that. That hurts my OCD. I can't do this. I got to go back to playing, you know. And the Lord said, stop. And I said, what? And he goes, I'm going to be speaking to you in patterns. So pay attention. Because there's patterns all throughout my scripture. There's patterns that you're going to see that you're doing. And it's not like you're going to go back to old patterns, but there's good patterns ahead. And so to pay attention. So I thought, gosh, was that me or was that, you know, the Lord? I knew it was the Lord. I had no doubt. So then he took me to Jeremiah 33:3, which says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about the things to come. And the reason why he took me there is because I've been seeing 3:33 a.m. and 3:33 p.m. a lot. So then I was blessed this Christmas with my clients being very kind to me. And they gave me one of my clients gave me a whole series of actual paper. I have it on my Kindle, but the Passion Translation, and I really thought I was supposed to go through Luke. And so I'm reading the introduction. And the introduction, talking about Luke and how amazing he was. And he says, Luke shares Jesus' teaching on prayer, forgiveness, and our obligation to demonstrate mercy and grace in dealing with others, which then that's the fruit again of being able to do that with people. Luke provides us with the rich details of Jesus' love of children and the forsaken. Luke writes more of Jesus' ministry, more about Jesus' ministry to women than the other gospel authors. This was somewhat controversial in the culture of this day. In fact, Luke uses an alternating narrative of one story about a man and the next story about a woman. Luke begins the story of Zechariah, then moves to Mary, a focus on Simeon, then Anna, the Roman centurion, then the widow Nain, the Good Samaritan, then Mary and Martha. And then it says, the pattern continues throughout the gospel. So I just felt like that was confirmation. So being intentional, really walking in the purity that he wants us to, but only being able to do that when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit and really practice that and sowing into others intentionally, Jeff Beck. It just all pieces together. I think it's pretty darn fun. So.
And ask, because he's going to show us remarkable things.
Well, this fast wasn't the normal one for me either. And I didn't not eat the whole time. But it just started out really strange because I kind of battled depression, which is weird. And there was one night where I just laid awake all night long and bawled. And I was saying, God, it's the power that makes your love loud. Where is the power in your love that the city needs to see, that we need to see, that we long to see, and people getting healed, and the blind seeing, and the fire coming down, and the glory cloud, and the power of your love that we need to see. Where is it? And I was desperate, just desperate. And I was saying, God, Moses saw you face to face, and I was naming all the people that saw him face to face, that see him today face to face, and I'm like, Lord, why not me? You know, who's going to deny me my inheritance? I want to see you face to face. And it's almost like, you know, a baby crying for milk, like, how long are you going to wait? I'm hungry. I need to see this. I want this so bad. I mean, nothing, no bolts of lightning or anything, but he started to speak to me in really quiet ways and soft ways. And I had a dream that I was in a meeting about this Kenya situation where I tried to sell a horse, and I want to send money, you know, to feed these people, and nobody would buy my horse. And that was in real life. That wasn't my dream. I do have horses. And I was, you know, God, I want to help. And I was my prayer room. I was pacing back and forth, and what can I sell? What can I do? What can I make? And I just felt like I wasn't hearing anything. But I had a dream about Kenya, and in my dream, there were people talking about the needs and sending money for books, and I thought, books, they need to eat. Jesus, in my dream, all of a sudden sat down next to me, and he leans over in my ear, he goes, I think together we can do this. And that was huge for me because I tend to be kind of in my thinking a bit of a loner, and I really could hear the Lord saying, from now on, we're going to do things together. This is a together thing. This is not just you. And so for me, that was huge. And so I felt like he was speaking to me that the ways I've always seen myself doing things and accomplishing things is going to drastically change this year. And it's not going to be in my strength. And no matter how much I tell myself I'm not doing this in my strength, when I really sit down and analyze it? I am. I always have, pretty much most of the time. And so this is going to be a together year, and we're going to be doing things in his strength, in his way, and it's not going to look like we think it should a lot of the times, or in a way we think could possibly work. But I see great things are going to happen this year. And I see that in Kenya, they're going to own that land. They're going to build their school. It's going to be theirs. We're not going to be sending money, investing in something that they don't even own. And I'm just going to make a bold statement. I have no clue how that's going to happen, but he knows, and I'm not going to worry about it. So, you know, and he wasn't worried about it either when he whispered in my ear, and you know, and so why should I worry about it? So, and also, he spoke to me that our days here on earth are like points, our days are like points on a map, extensions of what our influence will be in eternity. Depending on how much we just surrender to him. And surrender is so hard. I don't do that very easily. So that's going to be a big shift in me. But, you know, he can do that. He can just bring that fire and burn all that stuff away, all that self, all that flesh, and I'm just going to trust he's going to do it. So anyway, that was my simple message from my fasting.
You set the bar pretty high for us, Justin. But similar to what Susan said and somewhat along what Jeff said, what I felt like the Lord was just reminding me of, and I think not just me, but the body of Christ, that we live in a world that seems to be in crisis in, you know, multiple modes all the time. But he says, don't be anxious and don't worry. But he wanted to remind, to me, he reminded me, he said, I'm talking about things of the world. Things that of me, I don't want you to be worried about them, but don't be passive. Be aggressive about them and be intentional, like Jeff said. And you can be anxious about them, not in a worrisome way, but anxious to seem appearing. It's more of an expectation type thing, and we're living in the spirit and we're living in the world, and it's two different ways to face the things And he's placed us here for a reason, and it's not that we can't do it, that we just don't, we live in the world and we want to face the whole, we want to do everything that way, but he said it's not that, and that anyway, whatever that's worth. So
So I heard a couple of words, and so I'll have to explain them. But I felt like the Lord said that this is going to be a year of lead and snow. And so where that comes from is everyone knows that this year is 5777 in the Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word, or a year for 5777. And so I just had this thought, you know, I want to look up in the Strong's what that word is, 5777. And the word is lead. So I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I've heard a lot of different prophetic words about 5777, but I haven't heard anybody speak about that. And so I just kind of shelved it, but it just kind of wouldn't go away. It just kind of like coming back, and it's just like one word, and it just didn't seem like that it really meant anything. So when I looked into it, from lead, it gets its name from its dusty appearance, to be gray, to be pulverized like dust, like clay, like ash, like mortar, like powder. So when I investigated, I went to the first use of lead in Scripture. And it's written, it's in the Song of Moses in Exodus 15. So when the Egyptians chased after Israel, they chased Israel to the sea. The enemy said to them, this is what they were saying, I will pursue and I will overtake and I will divide the spoil. That's in Exodus 15:9. But in 15:10, you blew your wind or your breath, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. So I knew what the Lord was speaking. In fact, I'd already seen it. You guys have already seen it. You've seen it in the news. You've seen it in things happening that we don't really have an explanation for. And so I believe, like the Lord was saying, that it's that the Lord this year is going to continue to overturn, to bring down and cancel and expose the schemes and plots of destruction. And that this is the year of lead for the enemies of God's people and his purposes in the earth. So I believe just continue to see that. And actually, I take that word. That's what I've been praying very simply. When I see things in the news or I hear stuff, I said, Lord, let it be as lead. Let their plans, their purposes come to nothing. Let them sink like lead. Let the wheels of their chariots fall off. So when I continue to, if you go to Exodus 15, it's got a lot of great things in there in the song, Song of Moses. And I just picked out some of the things that they proclaimed in that song. The Lord is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power, and your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praise and working wonders? In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. And I thought, this is awesome. This is awesome. And so I continued to read. It was very interesting. Because when I got to Exodus 15:24, although the Israelites saw this most astonishing miracle, they were witness to it. They walked in a miracle. And in verse 24, they started grumbling against Moses. Ah, we were better off in Egypt. So I'm going to switch gears now. I want to talk about the snow. So the snow was something that the Lord began to speak to me a couple years ago. And I knew that he was highlighting it to me. And so I did some reading and I found out a couple of really awesome things. But I thought at the time that I knew that the word was reserved for an unusual snow season or an event. And so I've sat on it for a couple years and I was just kind of waiting for snow. So a lot of you guys know who Michael Stone is. And on his Facebook page, he would go, snow event 1, snow event 4, snow event 6. And he was always making these posts, and they were funny and hilarious. And so after this last snow that we had, snow event 10. And I don't recall ever having that many events of snow in a short period of time in this area, where it actually snowed and hit the ground. And then a few days later, it snowed and hit the ground. And then a week later, it snowed and hit the ground. And over, there were 10 events. So by now, I'm thinking, now's the time. So I found this paper a couple years ago by a woman. Her name is Fanny Beer Report. And she's talking about snow. And she's talking about Job 38:22. And the Lord asked Job, and this is what he asked him. He says, have you entered into the treasuries of the snow, or have you seen the treasuries of the hail? So now I want to go back to that in a minute, and I just want to give just a couple of interesting facts about snow. Snow is an ice crystal. It's formed in the clouds. It's a six-sided lattice. Six is the number of man. And so Wilson Bentley, he is a pioneer in photography, and he, back in the 1800s, he began photographing snow crystals. And he talks about that each flake has six sides or six branches, and they're each set to an angle to each other at 60 degrees. And each snowflake is formed from the inside out. But he goes on to say that each snowflake, he equivalates that to each snowflake like being us, like a human being. And so he continues to say that each snowflake, if allowed freedom to develop alone, is perfect according to its individual plan. And it's one of nature's miracles. And so I just continued to think about the snow, and I would catch different things that they'd say in the news. So this is one thing that I caught in the news, that the Portland International Airport recently reported that they had the greatest one-day snow event since 1977. That was 40 years ago. And also on January 19th of 1977, snow fell in Miami and in Hawaii. So they were talking about an event that happened 77 years ago. This is year 5777. And so all of those things are like kind of like ringing a bell to me. So, but I want to go to the most significant aspect of what snow means. And so the question is, what is the treasury or the treasures of the snow? What does that mean? Lord, what does that mean? I mean, it's like over my head. I don't know what it means. And so I was reading, continuing to read this person's report that she did. So according to her, in the Hebrew word pictures, Shin Lamed Gimel is snow. And this is what those three letters in Hebrew mean concerning snow. And this is what it means: consuming the authority of pride. And what that means is that pride sets itself up over the authority of God. And so I'm paying attention these last couple years, waiting for a snow event. And this is a conversation between Job and the Lord. And the Lord said to Job, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Behold," and Job says, "Behold, I am insignificant. In what can I reply to thee? And I lay my hand over my mouth." And then I remember the grumbling Israelites. They saw the mighty hand of God, and yet they grumbled against him. And an interesting aspect about snow also is, though it's beautiful, it cannot give life. It's when snow is transformed into water that it fertilizes the fields and that it refreshes. A transformation occurs. And in Scripture it says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And wash me, that I shall be whiter than snow." And this is what I believe the 10 episodes of snow represents. I believe that the Lord wants us to enter into that treasury of the snow, to be transformed, to be transfigured. He wants to consume the authority of our pride. "For when he displays his majesty and power in the earth, when our enemies' plans fall like lead, that we will respond. Then Job said to the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel with knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. So I just, all that to say is that I believe that this is the year of lead and snow, where God reveals his strength and majesty over our enemies, and where he asks us, his people, have you entered into the treasuries of the snow? And I believe that as we do, this will be a real year of transformation. So, Father, I ask that you touch every one of our hearts, Lord, that you come and do that thing within us that we cannot do on our own. Father, we ask that you break through our pride. Father, we step into that place, the treasury of your snow, and we say, Lord, consume the pride within us, Father. May we be ones who willingly long and seek after you. Lord, let us not be like those who grumble against your word or your plans or your purposes, Father. We ask that you come and do for us what we cannot do, and we bless your name, and we thank you, Father, what you're about to do in the earth.
Oh, great, now I have to share. Why'd you have to talk about snow? The fast started, and it's snowing, and it was, like, horrible for me at work, because I drive the garbage truck, and we still have to go to work. We don't get to take a day off or nothing, so it was, like, miserable for me. It was, like the worst couple weeks I've had in a long, long time, because physically I would just, like, I'd have to get out and, like, drag. I was dragging full garbage cans out of the snow, you know, getting soaking wet and lifting these things out because I couldn't get them with the truck because they'd be buried or too far off the road because you can only drive down certain parts, and it was really, really rough, and so I had to do this for, like, I mean, usually we get like you know, like you said, like one time it snows and it's melted the next day. But I do the hills. I'm up in the county all day long. So I'd go in, you know, sometimes I'd go in early and I would just complain. I'm just grumbling every day. God, why? Why are you doing this to me? I hate this. I hate this. Why? I mean, it was to the point where, like, I was just so exhausted. And I'd come home and I'd be like, you know, like, okay, it's going to be gone tomorrow. And it's not gone tomorrow. 3 more inches would fall. You know, and I'd get up and go out there, and then I'd see the sunrise, and I'd snap a picture, and then I just remember, okay, this is beautiful, it's beautiful, but I hate it, I hate it. What's going on? This is more of a personal thing, but Linda talked about that, just like the whole pride thing, and like the first time it snowed, I think I didn't miss anything, and I was going in the office, and I was telling the secretaries, I'm like, look, I have no list of misses. But all the other drivers have all these misses, and I was bragging about how awesome I was. What should be pride? Because I take, so I'm like in there bragging about how much, and so then this last week, I like have so many misses, so if I missed your garbage can, I'm sorry. We'll get it when we can. Because then I had a lot of misses, there was a lot of things I couldn't get, but I was coming home, and I got to the point where I texted my manager, and I said, I don't know how much more I can physically and mentally do this, because my body was, like, physically shutting down. I was, like, so, I couldn't even, like, get out of bed in the morning. I was so much pain from just pulling these cans out, and, like, just, I mean, we have to do ridiculous things. I'd have to, like, back down a road because I couldn't turn around, and then back all the way out of it and pull every single can across the road just to pick up the cans, and then I'd get stuck, so I'd have to put chains on, put the chains off, put chains back on, shake chains on, out there in the dark, in the cold, 20 degrees, you know, just all day long, it's like, oh, you know, I have to take the chains off to drive down Ocean Beach Highway, then I get up in the hills, I have to put them back on again, and it just went on and on and on, I was, you know, and why am I rambling now? But so seriously though, but God was like, and, like, I'm in the truck, and I'm, like these interactions with me and God, and he's just like, I want you to see the beauty in this. And I'm like, and I remember one time I asked him, I said, what is going on? He said, and this is, I think this is the key thing here. I'm trying to get to the point. He said, I'm preparing you for something. And I'm like, preparing me for something? I'm like, this sucks. What are you preparing me for? Because it must be something big. But he's like, I'm preparing you for something, and I'm only going to be able to give you that you're only going to have the strength in me to be able to do it. And that was a constant thing. Is like, I seriously think he was trying to just kind of show me that you're only going to be able to have the strength to do this with when I give it to you, and just constantly find the strength in me. And it was, and seriously, I mean, it was like there was times where I was like mentally just so, because I was under so much stress, my knuckles are white and just scared to death, and like that might, I'm like, God, I can't go any farther without you in this. And so please, no more snow. But I think you know, obviously what was going on, like I said, was God was just like, it's messy, but you got to look beyond that to see the beauty in the mess, and then I'm going to give you the strength to get through that. And so I got to see some of that last couple of weeks. Cool.
Well, Kevin, I just want you to know that you're the reason I got up here, because the word I got this year didn't seem to, I mean, at the time it was so exciting. You just have to know what we've been walking through. But what Kevin said, what he shared, it's about preparation. And it is about something more than what we see and what we know, because we're reaching toward him and who we know, not what we know, but who we know. And this last season we've been in, we haven't been around here. It's been real odd for Rick and I, because we've been missing. If you haven't missed us, I'm sorry for you. I had to say it. I had to lighten the mood here. I mean, I don't know who said it, but when you hope for one thing and you get another, there's a lot of questions in that. It's like, okay, God, what are you doing here? I got to know, because in the midst of us, this seems really counterproductive, because our daughter's been so ill, and that's why we haven't been here, because she lives up in Renton and she's needed us to go back and forth, and we have. But it has been, Kevin, are you listening? It's been like those garbage cans and those tire chains and backing down the hill instead of going up the hill or turning around. It's been like that. For us, Rick and I have been exhausted. He's been amazing. But the word I got was victory. And in the circumstances, Jesus has already provided the victory, no matter what happens. And that was a word to my heart, to my head, but especially to my heart. You never want to have to see a child go through what our daughter's been through. And so I would never want that for anybody. Honestly, I hate it for her, and I hate it for us. But the word victory is the overcoming of an enemy or antagonist. Yep. Achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. And so I was saying, Lord, but I don't get exactly where this is going. And so he wanted me to read Isaiah 58. Stop oppressing the helpless and stop making false accusations and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as day. The Lord will guide you continually, watering your life when you are dry and keeping you healthy too. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Your children will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the people who rebuild their walls and cities. When God speaks to something as devastating as what we've been walking through like that, you know he's in the midst of you.
Really quick, 17 in the biblical meaning is overcoming the enemy and complete victory.
Is this thing still on? Yeah. Well, I have to confess, I didn't fast. I didn't even know about this until Tracy told me, so maybe I'm cheating by getting up here. No? Okay, thanks. It's humbling, for one thing, you guys are all well-spoken, so I feel like I get up here and stutter because I'm always get nervous when I come up and get before people. But that's good for me, probably. Kevin, I feel bad for you. That sucks. And I've been grumbling about the snow because I've been on foot lately and walking a lot, and I've been grumbling about that because slipping on that ice and stuff, why can't you make this stuff go away? But it's... And what you said about the purification of it, that really struck home, because when you're walking around, and it's interesting because you see, you know, how much easier it is when it's not snowing and it's not icy. But it does, you know, when I change my attitude about it. And I guess I just wanted to say, if this makes any sense, that you guys blow me away, because you guys always talk prophetically about how God speaks to you. And I'm more analytical in cause and effect. But because of your guys' prayers and because of your guys' vision, I think God does do things. And I saw two things today. One is I walked through the Civic Center a lot, and I watched the squirrels. And they haven't been out, but today they were. And there was somebody left a jar of peanut butter out, and I saw somebody bust it open so the squirrels could eat it. And I think that that's just a direct result of your guys' hearts of praying, and even Jesus' heart to provide for his little creatures. And then I hang out with some of the homeless people, and there's a young kid, he's 14, and he's homeless, and I talk to him a lot, but I saw somebody give him half their food, and they couldn't really afford that. So I just think those are cause and effect things of what you guys are hoping for, and that they are happening. And those are small things, but I don't usually hear stuff like this, but I don't know where it's at in Scripture, but it's something about be of good cheer, for I'm with you. So... Yeah. I just wanted to say that. I don't know if it makes any sense, but thanks.
So I don't know if mine fits with any of yours, but that's okay, because it's kind of what God gave me early on. So I think it was like January 1st, I was just praying, and the Lord just told me, he says, I love you in the stillness. And it just hit me so impactfully that it just made me cry, you know. And then I think with the snow and everything, it's just been amplified that you look outside, and he just reminded me there's beauty in the stillness. There's beauty in the stillness, you know. And it's like time just kind of stops a little bit or slows down. And then it was like... He's okay with stillness. For me, I mean, it's not one of the things I enjoy so much. I don't have as big of a priority for it, but for the Lord, he's okay with stillness. And it's he has a value for stillness. And I was reminded of the scripture, Psalms 46:10, I think it is. Be still and know that I am God. And I think, at least for me, I don't know, but he's wanting to teach me stillness. That stillness is valuable to him, because in stillness, then we can know that he is God. We slow down enough to look at him and not look at ourselves. And so that was mine, is, you know, that he loves me even in the stillness.
Is there a limit on how many times you can come up? Oh, good. Okay, so two things. If I can, okay, this is my third. I'm done. Oh, I know. Where's Tracy? Anyway, he'll hear it. Oh, there he is. Okay. What you said, it's the simplistic things that can become profound, Tracy. So never discount what the Lord tells you, okay? And the second thing is, Kevin, when you're in that situation, Graham Cook says, don't ask why, just say, Lord, what can you be for me now that you couldn't be for me any other time? I don't think I quoted that right. It's something like that. Okay. So instead, because we start whining with the, why this, why that? And he says, why don't you ask? And I've done that, and it's amazing the answer he gives you immediately. What can you be for me right now that you couldn't be for me in any other situation? So there you go. I'm done. Three strikes, I'm out.
I just wanted to point out something real quick. Have you noticed anything different about this year already? What's happening in the room right now? You think anybody relaxed? Okay. Besides the fact that Tracy's a mic hog. Is there anybody else picking up anything that's different? Yell. Interconnected. Yeah. This never happened like this before. And there, I think how people are playing off each other's words, how they're reading into each other's words and explaining and expounding on things. That's something that none of us would do on our own. We wouldn't make the choice to do that. We wouldn't choose to be like that or behave like that. That's something that's evidence of the Holy Spirit's activity among us, because the Spirit is like, it started out with the thing that Justin shared, which was profound, the vision that he had, but it started touching people's hearts. And they started, like Kevin was the first one and said, I just want to say yes to that. That was God. I mean, I think when you do that, what you're saying to the Holy Spirit is, we recognize you're among us. You're with us right now. And so we're listening. We're paying attention to what you're saying, Holy Spirit. As opposed to, I mean, there have been years in the past when it was like, 30 words, none of them really were connected, and it was, this is what I think, well, this is what I think, this is what I think, and it's like the Holy Spirit is breathing into us, and he's saying, you've all got a piece in this, but I'm really the one who's directing things. The Holy Spirit is really the one who we're with him, he's not with us. And I think it's profound, and I think it shows a couple things. It shows that how amazing God is, first, but it also shows that we're growing and we're becoming more confident in him instead of being confident in ourselves. And I think it's remarkable that it's happening. And I just want to point it out, because I think we need to pay attention to that kind of stuff. It's not just about what we say, it's about what he's saying in our midst that is going to carry us along. I was trying to find the scripture. I think it's in 2 Chronicles, where, you know, they're having a big battle, and Jehoshaphat's fighting, I think it's Edom. Anyway, the phrase that keep coming to my mind was, the battle belongs to the Lord. This battle belongs to the Lord. We're all in the battle, but it's his battle. We're all making these comments about what it's like to be in a battle that belongs to the Lord. It's not our battle. And so there's a sensitivity from one person to the next. It's like when Kevin talks about his battle, we can come up alongside of him and say, and this is true, and this is true, and this is true. It's just, I don't want to make too big a deal out of it. But somebody said it's the simple things, and that's a pretty simple thing.
I want to
share a word that Ian gave me yesterday. And he gave it to me, and I'm sure he meant it as a personal word, but also I just want to share it with you because I don't do anything on my own. It all affects us. This was yesterday evening here in the room. He said, that's not it. I'm sorry. Oh, here it is. He said, this was actually Thursday. He said, hey, I was praying for you in evangel tonight. Saw the Lord feeding you lemon tarts, sweet and sour. You were happy. You looked across the crowd and said, it's an acquired taste. The room was packed. And what made me think of that was when Justin was sharing this. The room was packed. I got the feeling that you were in the middle of a revival or an awakening or something. It was in this building. I felt Revelation 10:10 and Ezekiel 3:3, which are about sweet and sour tasting things. So I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I didn't want to share because I knew I was going to cry, and I haven't even started talking, and I'm already crying. But I just want to start by saying how important each and every one of you are, that and the people that aren't here too, but also just the people that are here and the voices, and just how tonight has just been complete confirmation to the season that I've been in. And I know that it doesn't even like remotely touch anything that Rick and Cindy have been through, but it just is like the Lord. And it just goes so with what's been going on with me and what the Lord's doing in my heart as to what you guys are all talking about. But I just haven't been able to piece it all together. And I've actually been kind of frustrated with the Lord about it because I couldn't figure out really what was going on inside of me. But just down to the pride and the purification and just the season of being with the kids at school and homeschooling. And I got this really, really good Christian history curriculum that's mystery, the mystery of history. And it starts off in Genesis, and it goes all the way, the volume one goes from creation all the way to Jesus's resurrection. And then they go on, you know, from Jesus's resurrection. And they have volumes all the way up to now in history. Anyways, but I just, some of the theology that I had has just gotten shaken up, and it's just this pride is just being broken off of, and not a pride for doing everything perfect or having everything look perfect for man, but a pride that I had with doing everything having to be perfect for Jesus, even though he knows how imperfect I am. If that makes any sense. And so it's really been just like this purification of my heart that has been one of the hardest things that I've had to walk through as an adult Christian and as a mom. And anyways, so I just think that I just had to come up and just say that just how important you guys are and how happy I am that I came tonight, because this is just complete confirmation to where I'm at. And also, I do have to say one thing about my husband. Those, just to clarify, the importance of our words and that we have the authority to change the atmosphere. Those first snow days, and this isn't a bash on you, babe, that he was getting all of those cans and having those positive attitudes. He was in the shower every morning before he went out to work. I was up with him and proclaiming that God's kingdom here on earth and walking in the kingdom, and how we were just praying that the Lord's kingdom would just come and that it would be a heavenly day. And so those days when he did not miss a can and he was actually seeing God's beauty in the midst of the snow with a positive attitude opposed to the second week. And I'm not bashing him at all for this. I mean, he was exhausted too. I mean, that just happens. But but we really do have the authority to change the atmosphere with our words. So anyways.
Okay, Tracy, this is for you, bud. It's John 16. And I know that the numbers that they put in this Bible are just for our benefit. It really didn't get written out that way. But John 15 ends this way. When the counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, goes out from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also will must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16 starts this way. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. That's 16:1. 16:33, which is the last verse in the chapter, and he's gone over some things, but this is the be of good cheer. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. This verse says, but take heart. I think that's where your translation says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay, three. So, I saw a picture. We were in this room, and it sounds kind of weird, but it's not really, because I've had a vision like this before. The room is filled, ceiling to bottom, top to bottom, it is filled. And it's filled, everything I see is just gold. So I don't think it's gold liquid, I think it's more of a gold atmosphere thing. It's the presence of God. And some people are floating in it. It's kind of like the spacewalk floating. You know, it's not like the laying in the pool floating. Other people are prostrate on the ground praying. And I heard this voice. And it was, I just heard a voice. I couldn't understand it. And it was Lisa Pingle. And she was praying. And she got closer, and she began to come up here, and I began to hear her say, Heavenly Father. And then she got into the Lisa Shake mode. Oh, Lord. And she began to speak, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come. And I think this is where the fire starts, because there was an explosion of the presence of God in the room, bright white, and it's like, I don't know what all it accomplished, but it definitely accomplished kingdom things. And it was, like Justin said, obvious. It was no doubt that it was, you know, when I was thinking of it, you sometimes think like, okay, well, the power of God comes like Jerry's cymbals, you know, the little chimes he plays, you know, tinkle, 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 tinkle. Or like maybe like the rain stick, you know, This was not that. This was like the dunamos power of God that it talks about. And where is it? In Ephesians. And you know what it said? It talks about the power of God being in, like the mighty power of God working in Christ. I didn't get that in Christ. I always figured that it was the mighty hand of God reaching down and, you know, laying hold of Christ and lifting him up. But it was the power of God in Christ that brought him up from hell, that raised him from the dead. And so, if that same power is in him, then it is available to be in us because we are his.
I have a question. Why do you think God tells us things that we haven't seen yet?
So when you, now the verse has escaped me. But I think he does that so that we know that we have a future and we have a hope.
I'll tell you why I asked the question.
I mean, I'm not going to give an answer. But the reason I asked the question is because you have no idea how many times the Lord has said to me or the people I'm around, the people I'm in relationship with, I see this room full of people. Or I see you in a stadium that's full of people. Or I see God moving in power in this place that you're at. Why would he keep saying that? I don't think it's necessarily because it's going to happen. I think he's trying to tell us, or I'll just take it personally. I think he's trying to tell me what I've called you to do is important to me. You know, it's not because he wants me to look for a group or a building full of people, but he's saying, you're significant. Your life is significant. Your calling is significant. Your assignment is significant. There's a significance to it. Don't let yourself be talked out of that. And it doesn't mean that it's going to happen the way all the pictures come, but I think he paints a big enough picture where you realize I can't do this on my own. We can't do this on our own. So I think part of the reason why he tells us that is because he wants us to know that our lives are significant, our actions are significant, our choices are significant, not giving up is significant, not stopping, not quitting is significant. Maybe. I could be wrong.
Well, and I think a big reason he does that, at least from my perspective, is that he's created all of us here. He loves us all, and nothing would thrill his heart more than to have everybody in awe of him and together and rejoicing in that. And he wants that to be in our hearts, and so he keeps planting that picture. So.
So Patrick and I were kind of having a conversation, I mean, the last couple of days, and I wrote something in my journal like 15, 20 years ago, and of what the Lord told me, and it was in wording that isn't even my wording. And I wrote it down. I haven't dug it out in a long, long time. But anyway, it was just so contradictory to where we were at the time that when I shared it with Patrick and everything, it was like, you know, this doesn't fit at all. You know, what's this even doing in my journal, you know? And so I was talking to him, and I said, oh, my gosh. You know, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, I'd have to look it up in the journal, the date, you know, the Lord told me this. And I said, and we're living it out right now. And I would have never thought that at the time, that that would be the case. But we are. And I think one reason why he gives you those things, even if it just seems so bizarre for the circumstances and situations, is one is to give you hope, you know, that even though it looks like this, in Christ, with him, you know, he can do the impossible. It can look like this. So that's one. But then also, I think, you know, writing it down and everything, it's confirmation that the Lord follows through with what he says. And so I think that's one reason. And another one is, to your question, is why would he give you things, you know, is to pray into it, you know, just start praying into it. And so that's what I would say, is to pray into, to give you hope, and then also confirmation.
I have this on my heart tonight to share with you guys. And that is just thank you for being you. And thank you for being faithful. Followers, it's meant a lot to us lately, especially, but we know we've been prayed for many, many times. We also know of a lot of people that are going through some desperate times and hours right now, so I just want you to know that the prayers of the saints are being heard. We've had so many answers to prayers that have been not just for us, as a family, but I think as a body of believers, we've seen and heard a lot of answers to prayers. And when you can't be here, it should be obvious to other people that you're not around, you know? And this body is really good about embracing those who can't be here in prayer. And I just want you to know to take advantage of that, because that is a really huge support in the kingdom, that we have this body, this fellowship, to hold us up when we are going through very difficult times and seasons. I've done it for you. You've done it for me. That's the way the body's supposed to work. We're supposed to encourage each other. We're supposed to give each other hope. We're supposed to have words for each other. We're supposed to lay hands on each other. We're supposed to care the way God cares. This morning I was at the breakfast for TriHop, and I've been talking to Jeff, and then I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's Renee. Well, I hadn't seen Renee in a while, and Jeff's giving her a hug, and I said, oh, there's my favorite. And I thought, oh, Jeff and Mike, I mean, it's not like they were both standing there, and I'm thinking, oh, well, they're not exactly, you know, yesterday's breakfast or anything. It's like I didn't mean to do that to either one of them, because they're my favorite. You know, I told Jeff that later. I said, you're my favorite too. You know, I want you to get that. And so is Mike. You know, you guys are my favorites. But that's like God, isn't it? He thinks we're all his favorites. And so we should all be encouraged by one another. We are his favorites. And there's no comparison about that one. I just want you to know. But I did have to make it clear to Jeff and Michael, you guys are, you know, chump change. You're my favorites too. But I think that what I'm after and what God's after, I know this because of what we've gone through, is, and I've known that before, but it's especially significant in the hour we're in, that we're not going to get there alone. Susan said it. Are you going to let me go with you, or are you going to come with me, or whatever, when Jesus said that to you? We can't go where we're going to go next without each other. And it's just significant that we're all here tonight, but you're just a small representative of who we actually cover in this area, who actually we are in relationship to, and just in our separate lives and our ministries and whatnot. But we all have people's backs that we're involved with that maybe somebody else doesn't have that. But this body does a lot of, what am I trying to say, connecting outside of the body of Christ here. So I just want to say well done, because it is upholding the saints. It is giving strength. We're kind of like this. Am I just babbling? I don't mean to. It's like we're a foundation that goes up and out of here. It's not just here. It's more than here. We're supposed to be taking it out. And I believe we're doing that. Jeff, you used to say that a lot to us. We need to get outside these walls. We've done that. And I for one, think we're right where God wants us to be right now. Every one of us. And so, well done.
I think I was supposed to say this earlier, but the young guy that I was watched get given some of the food, he's like 14, he's on the streets, and one of the significant things, and I didn't really even pay attention when he said it, but and I don't know if it has significance, but his name is something like Randy, and he doesn't like it, and he renamed himself Isaiah. So I didn't know if that was significant, but I would just ask that you guys would pray for him too, because his mom's in prison. Might be your third strike, he can't remember, and his dad's dead. And just what was said about, you know, just reaching out, and I really wasn't thinking about that either, but sometimes I have these people come across me, and I just end up picking their brains and finding out too much about them, so I'm just thinking maybe we should pray for them, and I'll just say a quick prayer if that's all right. Lord, thanks for those happy accidents, which I know they're not either. They're happy, but they're not accidents. And I do pray for Isaiah, Lord. I can't wait to talk to him again and ask him why he renamed himself that. It didn't come across as prideful. It was just like he liked the name. And I pray that his grandmother would be able to make a way for him and that he wouldn't have to go into the system, and that it would be swifter instead of slowlier, because he is on the streets and he is vulnerable. So I just pray for his safety. I pray that you would continue to provide him a place of shelter with his friends and money for food. And I pray that he doesn't have to hustle in a way that endangers himself or illegal or compromises himself. And I just pray that he would come to know you. Maybe I could even invite him here. And I just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Kevin, anything? Diane? Come on up. Mike, do you have anything? Dan?
I don't want to miss the blessing.
Well, I feel since 2017 has come upon us, just like the Lord just reawakening me personally, just where I've gotten dull and complacent and just busy with life instead of him. You know how we all do that. And so that's been thrilling me, because it's like, oh, yeah, yes, Lord, I need you so much. I have seen a couple things for 2017. The first thing that I have seen is that the Lord has shown me a path up in heaven that says 5777 and then 2017. And it's this clear path that's iridescent, and then you see the numbers 5777, 2017, and they just repeat, and they just keep circling on this path. And they're a sapphire blue color. The numbers are sapphire blue. And he told me where 2016 was a ceiling, but now that we are walking on 2017 and 5777 is now our floor. And I'm thrilled with that, because where we have felt hedged in or just like we weren't getting where we needed to go in 2016, we were going to be raised above that and have a new path to walk on this year. I also saw, he showed me some stuff about his right hand being released this year in a new way that we haven't seen before. So just know that his right hand, the right hand of God, is coming in a way that's going to be really powerful, and we'll just go, oh my gosh, that was God. I also saw that this kind of has to do with Jim's word, what he saw. Where Elijah prayed for rain and the faith that he had to pray for a rain, and where he declared that there was a cloud, that's coming this year. That there is a cloud that's going to come upon this year where 5777 meet with 2017, where the cloud of his presence is going to come in a powerful way, and that literally it's going to rain just like it did for Elijah. And I know this sounds really weird, but I just know that the spirit of Elijah is going to start raining this year that we haven't seen before. And then just on a personal note, my prayer, I hope this makes sense as I pray this, but my prayer for this year as I was just spending time with the Lord was, Lord, what can I pray for this year? I mean, I always do that every year. It's like, I need to pray for the year, Lord. What should be my prayer for this year? And what I really felt was in my heart was that he would knit me back within to himself. You know the scripture where it talks about you're knitted into your mother's womb? You know, your spirit gets knitted into your mother's womb when you are conceived and born into this world. And all our lives, we're always yearning and longing for God. And I thought, I need to be knit back into you, Lord, like you knitted me into my mother's womb. Let that be my prayer for this year, that you would knit me so much into you, into Jesus, into the Holy Spirit, that you would literally knit me back into the fabric and the tapestry of heaven where I came from, so that your light would just shine greater and greater and greater. And so I'm just going to pray that over all of us, if that's okay. Lord, would you, for 2017, would you just knit us back into you? We just give you our spirits, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our hands. We ask every part of who we are that you would just literally knit us back into you. Any place where we've separated ourselves from you, would you knit us back? Knit us back into your heart. Knit us back into you, into Jesus, and into the Holy Spirit, into the tapestry of heaven. that there would no longer be a separation of any kind. In your name, amen.
When you talked about the rain, it reminded me, I like to go on the, you know, the NOAA weather and read the discussions, and this next event that's coming next week, they call it an atmospheric river, and it's basically, you know, moisture that's, but it travels in like a real narrow pathway, but it's a tremendous amount of moisture that comes up from the tropics, and I mean, like equivalent to the Mississippi River dropping, and you know, all at once, and it just, you know, that what you were talking about, the rain of God, but yeah, they don't know exactly where it's going to hit, but it's going to, you know, drop a lot of moisture in one area. And the Lord said to me, it wasn't much, but you know, listening tonight, I'm not so sure that it means what I thought it meant. You know, He said that this was going to be a season of new songs, and I don't think it means that, because what He was saying was new progressions or patterns. When I play, I think in blocks of patterns and progressions, and over the, you know, the last several years, the worship in regards to music has been good, but it's been real similar. I mean, you know, one pattern, you can play a million different songs, and I felt the Lord saying that, and it's kind of what you were saying, that new patterns, not that the old patterns are different, but you know, He's going to give us new patterns, and I think it not just in regards to music, but in regards to what we do. You know, it's not bad, but He's going to give us new ways. And Linda, what you were talking about, you know, the record snowfall, that, you know, that they were also saying that, I think Portland was the second coldest winter on record, and Hillsboro's the coldest winter on record. But I was reading, I don't even remember when, in regards to, you know, water has three states, solid, of course, liquid, and gas, but there's so much they don't know about water, even though it's so familiar, but they discovered that there is another state that when water gets to a certain temperature, it changes into like a plasma type state. And I just felt that the Lord is going to take that which we are familiar with, but He's going to change it this next year. You know, we're going to be changed.
One of the intriguing things to me about these days and these times is, how do you prepare? How do you prepare for the Lord in an atmosphere that He doesn't necessarily have, His presence isn't exerting authority in? I mean, it's like we're living as aliens in somebody else's land, and yet we're looking for what the Lord is going to do in the midst of this alien environment. And I think that there's a couple people have said this, but one of the keys is, I think it was Cindy, one of the keys is that we are not alone. We're traveling together. We're on this journey together. And I think we need each other in a more significant way than we even realize. I'm sure we do. And I'm so hopeful in our connections with each other. It's not about how good of friends we are or how many meetings we attend together, but it runs deeper than that. It's like that old friend that you haven't seen in a while, and you get together with them again, and you're there. You're right back where you were. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to think, one of the joys of doing, of getting people ready to get married is, and I tell them this frequently, is that part of the reason why I spend time with them is so that when they do run into difficult times, they don't have to, they know me already, and they can sit down, we don't have to catch up. We can go right from where we were and move forward and see things change for the better, because we've already got an established relationship, and I think that's really more significant than we realize. It's not just significant in this congregation, but it's significant in the city. There are a lot of things that are happening that I think are, what we're picking up on are things that God's actually doing in the city. We're just kind of like overhearing this stuff. But he's much more concerned about a geographical area than he is about a congregation. We're part of something that's bigger than we are. And man, just stay with it. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't get tired. Don't, whatever you do, don't quit. Because we're so close to seeing God. It was really encouraging this morning to hear, and I don't ever remember anybody saying this, but to hear Ian say, Bethlehem is a nothing city except that Jesus was born there. And before Jesus was born there, there was no reason to be in Bethlehem. And now you say that word and everybody remembers Bethlehem because Jesus was born there. Jesus showed up there. And I just think this is just like that. The city is, there's something significant about this area. And I really believe that in the days ahead, there's going to be stories about this place, and God's going to have amazing testimonies that come because of what he's done here in this place. I don't know why. It makes no sense. We're not on anybody's map except his. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you for tonight and this part of the journey. Keep these words on the front of our mind for a while, and so we reflect on them and we kind of chew on them a bit, Lord, before we move on to the next thing. Some significant things were said tonight. Some significant things were revealed tonight. Let us dwell here for a little while, Lord, and not move on to the next best, greatest thing. There are new things coming. There are new songs to be written. There's new stories to be told. There's going to be miracles that are coming that are going to be amazing encounters with you. We just prepare our hearts for what lies ahead with great hope, great expectation. There's no place we'd rather be but here with you. So thank you for your protection be upon these people. Continue to bring revelation, dreams and visions and words and impressions, Lord. Continue to bring them into our hearts to stir us up for the things that lie ahead. And also to give us courage to move past the things that are not too in our too distant past that may be holding us back a bit. We pray for breakthrough so we can move forward with you. Nothing slow us down, Lord. I pray for great courage in the days ahead, great hope to be released, great faith to be released. And may, Lord, more than anything else, may we love well. Love you, love each other, love the lonely, the lost, the desperate. May we love well, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So let it be written. Oh, no, that's the King and I. Sorry.